How are your glasses getting more and more ridiculous?
Dude, this is the type of shit that winners wear. You know what I mean? You see this right here? See this lion with this crown? You see this?
How you slowly stroke it? Yeah, I see that.
Yep. This will be painted after we win the Super Bowl this season.
You said that last year. You're gonna put a Lions jersey on it, right?
Yep, it will be painted.
How long have you had that before you've painted it? That's my question.
Only about 4 years.
Only 4 years. Okay.
Four, yeah, give or take.
Small term investment.
But you know what I'm saying? I had to bring out the change and what I'm saying? Big
Like,
Detroit shit.
how
The
many chains is
buffs.
that? Four chains? Three chains? What the fuck? Like,
Three,
how
you know
many?
what I'm saying? I got,
My God.
yeah.
Man gets a few wins in basketball and football, and he's already like T.O. right now. It's crazy. The
Big
Jerry Rice
Detroit.
dick looks, I mean, it's crazy.
It's that big Detroit energy, you know what I mean?
I don't blame you. I'd be wearing the same thing if my teams were doing anything remotely good. So enjoy. Enjoy your shirtless sunglasses and necklaces, sir. Like,
Oh
live it
yeah.
up. Live it up. Soak it up, man.
Oh, and you know what? It's a celebration. So
Yeah.
let's drink right now.
I've already been drinking, man. I've been
Yes.
drinking since 5 p.m. and other things. It's election night in America, folks, and that's
Oh
it.
yeah.
That's the one thing about politics I'm even going to mention on this show ever. It's
No.
election night in
Fuck
America,
that shit.
and I've been drinking since 5 p.m.
Fuck that shit. We're gonna get down and dirty
Oh
ASAP. Who'd you vote for?
no. I'm not saying that shit on the damn air. Get the fuck out of here. Not
I'll tell
trying
you who
to
I voted
get
for.
okay.
I voted for Kanye West and LeBron James.
So your usual vote. Got it. Got it.
Yeah, and I'm
Yeah.
dead serious.
Hey, one of these days we're gonna accidentally put Kanye in office and
Oh, it won't be an
buckle
accident.
up. Buckle up. It won't be an accident. You're right.
Nope.
If we ended up letting that happen with the amount of complications it takes to actually make someone president, if we let that happen, we deserve what comes to us. I'll put it that way.
I believe Kanye West is a great candidate to be the president of the US of A. And LeBron James, who else better to be the vice president? Not a scratch on his resume.
It's funny you say they're qualified because you're absolutely right. We've lowered the bar in politics so fucking much that, yeah, they are qualified. I'm
That's what
qualified.
I'm
You're
saying.
qualified. Fucking Barney the Dinosaur is qualified. That's pretty much what American politics is. So you're right. He is qualified.
And
Why the fuck not?
my message in all of this is, regardless of who wins, we're fucked.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying. Why do you think I've been drinking all day? That's it. I don't care who wins this one. We're doomed. This is it. Signing off forever. Like, what the fuck, man? This shit is. I'm nervous. No matter who wins this shit, it's gonna be a. Oh man, it ain't gonna be pretty. I'll put it that
People
way.
gonna be mad. People gonna be mad regardless.
It's not even they're gonna be mad. They're gonna be mad, mad in their feelings, mad, violent, mad. I don't like that.
Like
I don't like
Luton.
that. Oh
Like.
yeah, looting, polluting, all that shit, shooting, all the bars you can think of. It's gonna happen. Putin. I got bars for days on that shit. Oh my God. So yeah, I've been just distracting myself all day trying not to watch this shit. It's hard not to watch this fucking map turn red as far as the eye can see all across the motherland. So, you know, not fan
Salute.
it is what it is. Everybody voted and we're gonna see what happens. But that's outside the Bank Bros show. Here at the Bank Bros, we know it's a stressful time right now, so we are here for your entertainment. We're not here to pick sides. We're here to talk about sports because that's what you came here for. And that's what we love to talk about. Before we get into sports, I know you got some big changes coming up. I know you want to get into a little bit. You got a big life change happening.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I mentioned it on the. I think I did mention it on the show. But I'm gonna be moving into my loft next week, Friday.
Yeah, boy, papers are signed.
Yes, sir. Papers are signed. I've been approved. Background checked and all.
Boom, boom, boom.
So,
You excited?
hell yeah, man. Really looking forward to it. Finally get my own space again to where I can really lock in and do the things that I want to do.
What do you
It's
want to
been,
do?
honestly, I just want to do the things that I love doing.
So, I
I just
mean,
want
you've been talking about a lot of different projects on this show.
to.
You've been talking about getting in the studio and make some fucking beats. You've been talking about voiceover work. You've been talking about anime shit. You've been like, I want to see, like, what if we get the lock now? What's the first project on the list? What's first?
First, honestly, first, I want to start doing stuff for the show.
Hell yeah.
That's first and foremost.
For the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I just owe it to the masses
The
to
masses.
do something.
All our masses.
Yeah, honestly. Because honestly, I've been listening to our content when I'm at work, and we got some pretty good content. I ain't gonna lie.
I'd say so. I'm a little biased, but I think we got some spice on this show, folks.
It's not bad at all, whether
Right.
you in sports or not.
Little something for everybody.
But I also want to, I guess I still want to kind of meditate on it a little more.
Course.
But I want to do something with streaming video games. That's
Okay.
another big project I want to do.
Hell yeah.
And then, of course, like dabble into music too. So those
Yeah.
would be like my top three projects I would be working on. And like the thing is, like I want to shut the outside world out and just keep
Okay.
everything in my inner world part of my world. So like I'm talking like no females, no parties, no nothing. Like
No females.
I'm not going out,
None.
like none. Like
So
I'm
like
just trying to make as much make as much money as I can, really.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do right now. Oh, forgot to tell you too. I've been hitting on sports betting. I'm up eight, or I was, or the week's over, so I was up 800 this past week.
800.
Yep.
Damn, we're not even going to Sizzler. We're going to Old Country Buffet.
Yeah,
Hell yeah.
so like that's been like my side job, sports betting.
Okay. About fucking
So
time.
yeah, man, it's I just ain't got the fuck as I'm getting a phone call as I'm telling you this.
Oh, I
But
mean, I have to ask,
yeah,
or else you're taking that phone call.
no, I ain't taking it.
Okay, I have to ask, if you say no females, where does that leave you and Kelly Rowland?
We just had that conversation today.
Oh, it's fresh. It's fresh.
Yeah. I mean, I told her like where I wanted to be, which is alone by myself.
Oh.
And like I told her, it's like nothing about her, really. It's a personal
Right.
decision. I just feel like I'm a lesser version of myself. I'd be no, let me rephrase. I feel like I'd be a lesser version of myself if I were to be in a relationship right now. And when I mean lesser version of
Ah.
myself, I mean for me, like
Not
myself.
hitting the potential that you envision.
Selfishly. Yes. Exactly. And I
I
want
feel
to
you.
pour all of that back, like all that energy back into me. I feel like I've been focused, and no, I don't feel like I know. So I know I've been focused on a lot of external things, factors in life, most of that being women. And I'm not saying I was wrong or that women weren't worth it or whatever, but
No.
the thing is, like, when I'm putting that energy out there, I'm not giving it to myself. And so I'm cheating myself of my own life. Because,
Missing the self-love, yes.
in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Because females come and go. And all that energy you put into a female, like, females are never yours. They're just, unless you're married, I guess, they're just yours for the time being.
No. Let me amend that, sir. Even after you're married, they're not yours. Like, my wife doesn't belong to me. I'm like, yeah,
Exactly.
she's mine, I'm hers, but like, that's more of a sentiment. Like, I know she can get better than me. I know that I don't take her for granted. Like, she has
Don't
me, but
shortchange yourself. Don't shortchange yourself.
Well, I appreciate that, but I think it's healthy. Especially for a married man to not think, I know guys who fall into that trap all the time of going like, well, she can't get better than me. I'm the best there is, and I'm not saying that's what I'm doing or what you're doing, but like, there are guys on that end of the spectrum who think like, yeah, they're the be all end all for their woman, so they take them for granted, they neglect them, they talk to them a certain way, like, so that's why I always feel like it's good to have a healthy level of like, yeah, she could do better than me, like one of us is more attractive than the other one. One has more to offer. I'm not shortchanging myself necessarily, but I think it's natural that it's not a 50-50 split. My wife is a very self-independent, like a go-getter, a boss, like she's work a hard worker. Like, so I don't take that for granted. That's the difference. So that's all I'm getting at is yeah, in certain cases, I think men need to kind of take that step back and go, okay, maybe the woman's actually bringing a lot to the table here.
No, absolutely. I feel that.
I
And
understand. I understand.
yeah.
If you have to be able to take care of yourself, that's got to come first.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. It's like this shit just changed for me overnight, and I just boom, flipped the switch. But man,
Well,
I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I'm excited. I've already been thinking about all the type of furniture and how I'm gonna design my, my space. Man,
bachelor
I'm really
pad.
excited, man. Like it, man.
We get you a bearskin rug. I have a bearskin rug guy. Let's get you connected. Get the
Ooh.
bearskin rug. And Ooh. I'm assuming you don't have a fireplace. They're getting one of the electric fireplaces.
No, I
there
don't.
you go. There, get the electric ones. Boom. Right in front of the TV.
Smart, smart.
Little Sunday night football, a little fire, a little bearskin rug. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. A little joint.
Oh. There it is. Oh, my God. There you go.
Oh, man.
See? That's the whole vibe right there in the loft, dude. And trust me, loft apartments, I've seen a few, especially in the Milwaukee area. There's some gems out there. So I'm excited to see what your place looks like. But, like,
hell yeah.
I mean, when you said loft, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
I'm gonna give the whole MTV Cribs tour and all that shit. Don't even worry about it.
You know,
this
yeah.
is a bedroom. Absolutely zero premarital sex will be happening.
Zero.
Zero premarital sex.
What's the point of the bearskin rug then? That's exclusively for that. Yeah. That's the only reason to have it.
Hey, it's for my right hand.
That's an extra special session if you're doing extra all that special. In a bearskin rug with your right hand. That is called self-care to the max.
No, that's what you call a waste of a nut.
Right, that too. Light some fucking candles, put on some Skinamax. He said, yep. No bitches in the crib.
Just myself.
Oh, man. Hey, that's your right. You earned that. You earned that special time for yourself. It's hard work, sir.
Oh, man. 1, 2, 3. I don't pass today.
Hey, we're on an upgrade right now. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy, getting himself an adult beverage as we welcome you back to the Bank Bro Show. Another episode hot and kicking just for you. Hope you're doing well. It is definitely fall, although Wisconsin weather is all over the place. It is like raining half the time. Half the time it's fucking 80 degrees. Other half is fucking 30 below. We all know the fuck it is. That's just Wisconsin for you. So everyone is adjusting, except for my partner here, who still remains shirtless in his Miami sunglasses, even though it's like 50 degrees outside. So some people just never change.
These buffs are actually a shout out to Detroit. What up, though?
Because it's blue. That's the only reason why.
That and no, it's the whole look. It's like
that's Detroit look.
The buffs, yeah, the buffs. It's like a Midwest thing, I guess you could say.
Okay,
but,
I was exclusively Detroit for that look, but okay.
But it's,
I got you.
It's known to be a Detroit thing, but it's like a Midwest thing because Milwaukee, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
They'd be rocking. You're not wrong, but I would say I would call those like Cisco glasses because they just reminds me of the thong song for some reason, and I think that should be your next karaoke song. That thong, the thong, thong, thong.
Show me that.
It's fucking classic. That's a hood classic, folks.
Trying to knock me off my focus already. I feel you.
Right? That's right. It's what you do. Speaking of focus, let's get into a little NBA and a lot of NFL. That's what's going on. Again, because I'm just going to distract myself from politics. That man's got the tequila. I am on my fourth whiskey already, so we're going to mix it up with some rye and go from there. I wanted to first start out our NBA coverage with a quick shout out to my boy, one of the OGs that I grew up watching, Mr. Vince Carter, the Toronto Raptors legend, got his jersey retired this past weekend. The first ever retired jersey in Raptors history. So one of my all-time favorites, couldn't happen to a better guy. And my thing is, it's personal for me. He put the Raptors on the map. And for those of you living under a rock, the Raptors, they got started around 1995-96 season. And shortly after that, Vince Carter got drafted. I believe it was 98-99 season. Shortly after that, same year after that, rookie of the year. Crazy fucking rookie. My God. Just electric. And at the time, I was actually living in Toronto with some family, just for a short time visiting family, but enough time to understand the impact. Vince Carter's face was everywhere as a rookie, and I was there about 99-2000, so it's fresh off of him being an amazing rookie. And then the dunk contest happened, the one that everyone talks about to this very day. Oh my God, that made Vince Carter a household name.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
It's actually the fucking, whatchamacallit, for one of our videos.
You're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
We talk about this Well, long time ago. I forgot all about that. Yes, you see, we love some Vince Carter on this fucking show. So that, like I said, that was one of like the only real dunk contests I've seen like all the way through when I was a kid. And just, oh my God, the Raptors were the coolest fucking thing at that point. Brought him to the playoff run. Now I know, and everybody can give him the shit that he wants to. He doesn't have the accolades his peer does. We get all that. It doesn't matter in my book. Vince Carter is somebody who was electric on the court, made a legacy on his own, even without the championship rings and stuff. The man had an impact on the game and made it cool in Canada. Because trust me, Canada, y'all ain't had it like that. The Vancouver Grizzlies were dope, but that was an aesthetic. That wasn't because of how good they were. The Raptors, that was like Canadian-based basketball is fucking dope. So I'll forever be a fan of Vince Carter. Salute to him. Congratulations on his jersey. I know you probably have fond memories of the man yourself.
Yeah, Vince Carter was actually one of the most talented players to ever play this game.
Period.
Not only could he dunk on you, but he had all the skill Tracy McGrady and Kobe Bryant had on the perimeter. Well, he can shoot the basketball, create his own shot, even handle the ball. Vince Carter had it all. The main issue with him was just overall drive. And he said it himself. You know, God only knows how good he could have been because he never really put in his entire effort into basketball because he was so God gifted. But man, Vince Carter was the guy that made Nike Shox popular. And all my hoopers
Oh,
know what Nike Shox
yes.
are. The
Hell yeah. I forgot about that shit.
Boings. When
The
he dunked on that
Boings.
dude in the Olympics. Oh my God. Dude was
Oh.
7'3". Vince Carter cleared him, nuts on his forehead and all. Oh my God. But salute to Vince Carter, man. I think that's somebody who gained more respect from the Toronto Raptors the later he got into his career. For those of you who don't remember, Vince Carter and the Raptors had a terrible divorce, so to say.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's a story for another day, but that's the whole reason why he got traded to the New Jersey Nets. But it's good to see teams and players like this make up because, speaking from a fan who's witnessed it with his own team with the Detroit Lions and Calvin Johnson, it's like, you know, these players literally put their bodies on the line to make you a profitable organization. So it's only right that you give back to the players and show them the respect that they deserve. And I'm glad that, you know, Vince Carter got this, like you said, first in franchise history.
Hell yeah.
Very deserving of it.
Who better than that? Right? Like, my God. So, love seeing accolades like that. Love seeing ceremony. And that man was an emotional mess on the court. That shit made me emotional. I was like, oh my God. Like, and also, like, I'm old as fuck. And just, wow.
Yeah. No, and I'm pretty sure those emotions came from all the things that he'd been through with the franchise.
Yes.
The
Long
ups, the
journey.
downs, the divorce, all of that. And for all of that to end up with his jersey being put up in the Raptors, like who would have thought?
My goodness.
Because
What a story.
the Raptors absolutely despised Vince Carter.
Yeah. It
Like
was
Kevin Durant
nasty.
OKC type shit.
Oh, yeah. That shit was ugly.
Yeah. And I mean, shout out to them because they put their pride aside and made it work. And
Hell yeah.
now he's forever immortalized.
That's what it's about, man. All the bullshit aside. Oh, we're doing a shot too? Okay, absolutely. Drink the Vince Carter.
For Vince Carter, number 15.
There'll never be another. That's dope, man. But speaking of growing legends, this man is shirtless for a reason. He's shirtless every week these days, and it seems like nothing can go wrong in Detroit. Again, unless you're a hockey fan. But since we're in the NBA zone, let's keep talking about basketball and get over to the Detroit Pistons because for some reason they have picked up on a little bit of magic. Just a little sprinkle of magic that the Detroit Lions have been flailing around all over the NFL, but the Pistons are winning. And they just had a big, big fucking win over the Los Angeles Lakers, 115 to 103. Again, my man is shirtless. Go ahead and celebrate, man. Tell them all about it.
Man, let me tell you, this game right here showed you it's a new era in the NBA. And I know it's just the Detroit Pistons, ladies and gentlemen, but you saw in this game some old dudes that couldn't keep up with these young knees. What you saw was LeBron James finally showing signs of slowing down because he was getting his shot blocked by Cade Cunningham, by Jalen Duren. He was getting to the rim and not finishing all the time. We haven't seen that from LeBron James. And all of this has to be credited to JB Bickerstaff, our new head coach. He has these Pistons playing hard. I'm talking about defensively. They get up in your chest, don't let you breathe. They play fast, get you on the fast break. Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, getting you on your back heels and really pushing the pace. That's the way these Pistons like to play basketball, and that's exactly what happened. Cade Cunningham was magnificent beginning to finish. Ended up with a triple-double, 17, 11, and 11. Jaden Ivey, I'm telling y'all, Jaden Ivey is fucking nice. I'm so glad we did not trade him last year, and fuck you to Monty Williams for starting Killian Hayes over this young superstar right here, Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey, 26 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 10 of 16 from the field, hit a three-pointer, but he had one steal, one block, and he was plus 20 on the court. That means when he was on the court, they were beating the Lakers by a dub.
That's nuts.
That's by far the highest on the team and the highest in the entire game. I love the way this team's looking. I'm not asking for much from this team. I know that we're really young and we got a good mix of vets. Shout out to Tim Hardaway Jr. and Tobias Harris, who really settled us into the game early. You can tell because they took and made a lot of big shots in the first quarter to give us that big lead to begin with. I love the way this team is constructed. I like our bench pieces. I like Ron Holland showing me some aggressiveness. We picked him with our first pick this year. Isaiah Stewart's been really locking it down, playing center again this season, coming off the bench for us. I mean, as long as we improve upon what we did last season, which isn't much, I'll be happy with that. So if we win 25, close to 30 games, oh, that's a successful season in my book. If we potentially break in the play-in and push a team to earn their eighth or seventh seed, I'm okay with that. I'm way more than okay with that. That's an extremely successful season to me. But the thing I want to see the most is the development of our backcourt of Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. And in my opinion, through the first, 8 games of the Detroit Pistons season, I think they put the league on notice. Like, this backcourt got next. They complement each other so well because their games are so different. Jaden Ivey's explosive, get to the paint to set up his three-point shot. Cade Cunningham, smooth, doesn't matter what you do, he'll just do the opposite. And honestly, I love where this team is going. Like I mentioned again, I'll say it again, I love the vets we have on this team. We have vets that have played in big-time games and big-time moments. They haven't been the guy anywhere, but they played in big-time games and meaningful minutes. So I'm excited to see how the rest of the season plays out, but great win for us over LA. Man, I couldn't believe we won that game, honestly.
You got to believe, kid. You got to believe in your team.
I mean, you look at the other team, and it's like, fuck, they got LeBron, they got AD, and then you realize, oh, shit, they got Austin Reeves guarding Jaden Ivey? I ain't trying to be racist. But
they make Jayden, movies about this.
Jaden Ivey, he's black. And he's very quick twitch. You know, it's associated with the African bloodline. You know what I mean?
Dancing around it.
And Austin Reeves, he's from the mountains of Caucasus. So they're not as twitchy. You know
the
what I mean?
The Caucasus Mountains.
they're not as twitchy. You know what I mean? So he was just bing, bing to the rack. Bing, bing to Austin Reeves was by the three-point line, and Jaden Ivey was already by the block. That's what was happening.
I will again say they make multiple movies about this very thing.
But it so happened to play out in real life.
Yeah, I mean, yes. There's some reality to it. Let's say it's a blanket statement, but the movie was called White Men Can't Jump. I'm just saying. There's a whole movie about it, folks. That's just science sometimes.
It's just biology sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. Love our young guards, man. Wait till Asar Thompson comes back.
Oh, I always forget he's not there yet.
Not yet. He's dealing with some like blood clots.
That can be tricky though. So you gotta hope for the best.
Yeah, he's young, so we're really taking our time with him.
That's good. But yeah, blood clots, that's an ongoing issue. So that's something you want to definitely monitor. But hey,
yeah,
that's a big fucking win.
At
an early part of the season where you definitely need to rack up those kind of wins, stay in the mix.
Yeah.
I wanna pivot for just a quick second to a different team that's not doing that well. That's the Milwaukee Bucks, who are currently 1-6. 1 and six. Now, like I said last week, just forget about being on the bandwagon. I'm not doing that shit. I am a neutral basketball fan. However, 1-6 under Doc Rivers and Darvin Ham. If you are the Bucks ownership, what's your move right now? Is it wait and play, or do you hit the panic button?
All right, well, right now, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
My first
one
move
six.
At 1-6, my first move would be to erase the mistake I made last season. The mistake I made last season was hiring Doc Rivers. So I'm getting rid of his ass. He's gone. Doc Rivers, gone. Darvin Ham, gone. I don't know why Darvin Ham got hired. Like
that
the
was
fuck?
Weird. That was really weird.
That's first and foremost. And I would hire, I would not, I know I might catch some flack for this. I know it might not be the unpopular thing to, or might be the unpopular thing to do, but
there you go.
I would not consult Giannis Antetokounmpo for who I'm going to hire for this head coaching position. Because I know, one, the last couple times I've consulted him, things haven't gone well.
Nope.
And number two, he might not be here for the long haul.
Exactly. Thank you.
I would go ahead and hire Mark Jackson.
Ooh, interesting.
After I hire Mark Jackson, I would sit down with Mark Jackson and think about how we can improve this roster and the pieces we can move. Everyone is tradable. Everyone on this team is tradable, including Giannis Antetokounmpo, including Damian Lillard.
Everybody.
Everybody can go.
Everybody.
I'm sorry, but you 1-6 and y'all supposed to be a top three team in the East? The fuck out of here. You lost to Cleveland twice already. And y'all played seven games. Twice.
Two times.
The last night, Darius Garland took y'all to school. That's what the fuck happened.
Mm.
And so, like I said, everyone's on the trade market. What move I would make to start out with, I would see if there's a way I can improve the roster and still win now with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. If there's no way I can do that with the cap space I have available, I don't know what their cap numbers are right now. I'd assume it's pretty ass.
Mm.
especially with basically dead money Chris Middleton, because he ain't playing, but you paying.
But you're paying. Oh, yeah. Cap space is no bueno. They're in the hole.
I knew it. If that's the case, fuck it. Trade everybody.
Yeah. You're going to have to.
I understand that I made a mistake in trading Drew Holiday. I mean, I told y'all this, but nobody wanted to listen. Y'all kept Bucks in six. Bucks in six. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Bucks getting sent home in six. I'll tell you that.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, shit, fuck. I just try to accumulate as many draft picks as I can and rebuild the OKC Thunder with.
I mean, yeah. Bucks have the fourth highest payroll in the league.
And they have the worst record in the East.
And you're 1-6. Like, that's a problem.
They are in the same boat as the Washington Wizards.
Whoo! You don't want to be there.
I'm talking about they got demoted further down than the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. That's
Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, they know it's bad. That's bad, bad. That's crazy. That's self-inflicted.
Yeah. I mean, I'd try to trade Giannis to the Hawks.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure they'll give me a lot of draft capital to pair him up with Trae Young. That's just a thought.
He's gonna go to Dallas.
Or even Golden State. No, fuck that. I ain't sending him to Dallas.
I didn't say he's gonna it's gonna happen. Watch it happen. Watch it happen. You heard it here, folks. I mean, right here. It's going to be Dallas. Don't tell me why I know that. I just know
very
it.
Very possible.
Yep.
He's
perfect for Dallas.
Yeah. And you know where I would send Dame?
Portland?
No, man.
I was playing.
I'd send him to Phoenix.
Oh, ew. Really?
Yeah. I'd send him to Phoenix for Bradley Beal's contract. And that'll match up.
Ew. I'm hating it even more.
Yep. And
that's spite talking. You're trying to just kill the Bucks. That's your problem. You're not trying to savor the flavor in Milwaukee. You're like ripping to the studs, the upper parts.
No.
Spraying the shit down with rust.
Honestly, I'm bullshitting because the Suns
exactly.
Ain't got shit to give up.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I know you follow shit. I'm like, man. That's that weak ass 2K shit.
But shit, Dame, Book, KD, yeah, you can win with that.
First round exit, and you know.
And why is it going to be different from Giannis? Because KD and Book don't really need the ball. They could just sit out and catch and shoot, or
it wouldn't work. That's the same shit Philadelphia is trying to do. It ain't gonna work.
If Dame goes to Phoenix, I think it would work.
That's I don't like it. That's a lot of ego, bro. But we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't think it looks good for the Bucks. I know I had them in a playoff spot. I'm sticking with it. I feel like somehow it's going to click and fix itself despite the coaching, but
it won't.
It ain't looking good, guys. It ain't looking good at all.
Defensively, they're the worst in the league.
They lost to the Bulls right out the gate. That already, to me, was like, oh, no.
Bro, they lost to the Grizzlies. John Morant had a triple-double and didn't play in two quarters.
There you go. Milwaukee Bucks. So, like, that to me is a giant red flag. I'm firing everybody already, but yeah, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
I had the Bucks number three. I'm going to erase them and drop them down to about number seven, and I'm going to put the Cavaliers at number three.
Now, I had the Cavs in mind. You remember that, right?
I forgot all about the Cavs. I don't know. I did this without looking at the teams.
I just know what I saw last year in Cleveland and went, okay, they're young and hungry. I like the young and hungry teams. That says a lot, especially in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little different than the NFL. But let's position ourselves to the NFL and stick with Detroit because, like we said, Detroit just keeps on winning. For some reason, Detroit sports are up.
Hold up.
I can't explain it.
What up, though?
Pour it up. He deserves it because if the Pistons were impressing you being the Lakers, the Detroit Lions made a fucking statement. It's a statement I would argue didn't need to be made. If you don't live in the Midwest, this was already a foregone conclusion, but it's fine. I'm going to let my resident Lions fan enjoy and savor the flavor here because the Detroit Lions beat the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau.
Mm.
The division practically on the line here because everyone, their mama was still like, oh, Green Bay has really got some juice. Jordan Love's in the MVP conversation. I said, what Packers are you watching? Because I'm watching the Detroit Lions, and that's a real football team. Please explain to the folks how they went in Tundra Town when the Lions came roaring into Green Bay.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it was a wonderful Sunday afternoon in the middle of a fucking monsoon in Green Bay. Not going to lie, I had my worries coming into this game. Jared Goff, I mentioned it on the show before, he has small hands. The ball's going to slip, you know what I mean? I was worried. But he came out the game wearing two gloves. And I said to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, my God.
Because after I saw him with two gloves, I'm like, okay, he knows. He knows. And the gloves he came out in, they're like more tacky. And they're not as, how should I say this for people who don't know football gloves, not as sticky and shiny and That's glimmery. Good. As the regular receiver gloves, mm-hmm. They're more tacky and dull. So that'll give you a better grip with the wet ball paws.
There's no dancing around that one.
None at all. And so the Green Bay Packers start off with the ball. They go down. The Lions get a stand, force three. You know what the Lions do? Now it's our turn. First possession of the game. Here's a touchdown on fourth down. Thank you very much. Fuck you. Now you try to move the ball. Jumped on them right away. And it's clear this Detroit Lions team can play in any weather conditions, any place, anytime, anywhere, indoor, outdoor. You know why? Because we have the best offensive line in the whole entire football league.
Facts.
And you know what we're going to do? Regardless of what the weather looks like, we're going to run the fucking ball. And we got this receiver by the name of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who we just paid a lot of money to. He's worth every single fucking penny.
Oh, that guy.
Because in the middle of a monsoon, he just so happened to catch all seven of his targets, including a fucking fade in the corner of the end zone.
That was
looking like
crazy.
A little Calvin Johnson in the middle of a monsoon doing that shit, looking like Calvin Johnson, worth every penny.
Insane.
We just have a team of guys that want to see each other succeed. This locker room clearly plays off of each other and plays for each other. I really don't know what else to say. I'm at a loss for words. Because we did everything we were supposed to do against the Green Bay Packers. And we got the win. And it's the same story every week. We do exactly everything we're supposed to do to get the win outside of that week two debacle against Tampa Bay. And then all of a sudden, it's just, okay, now we're on to the Houston Texans. That's how I know we got a good football team. Because what we did last week doesn't matter.
Nope.
Dan Campbell, the rest of the coaching staff, Jared Goff on down to Jake Bates, they don't give a fuck. They all got chips on their shoulders. They've all been doubted. And they all got something to play for. And that's the common thing with this Lions team. I truly believe we have a Super Bowl window for the next few seasons, like truly, especially with the new addition of Za'Darius Smith.
Mm. Call her on the show, folks.
Who we got for a fifth and a sixth?
This guy.
Thank
I just want
you
a little
very
credit.
much.
Just want a little credit for this guy saying that shit on the show. This Darius Smith would be a great fucking addition to the Detroit Lions. And I'm not wrong, folks. That move scares me. I've seen that man play in person. He's an animal. I don't care how old he is. He's got something in the tank.
Yeah. And with our defensive tackles that we have, Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, he's going to have a lot of room to work with.
Perfect. Just the kind of guy you need.
Yep, exactly. Veteran steps in, fills a role right away. Plug
Go
and
and
play.
Get it. Go and get it.
Oh, man. I honestly cannot wait. Well, actually, I can't because I want to watch every single game, every single minute, because I feel like we're going to win every single game from here on out. I feel like we can win the next. I don't feel like we can. Honestly, if we don't lose again, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, shit.
The toughest team we have on the schedule is probably like, I feel like we've already had our toughest game of the season. And that
I
was
mean, I'm pulling
Minnesota
up.
at Minnesota.
Let's see. Next is Texans, then Jags. Colts, that's a win. Bears, you know you're going to beat us. Packers again, you just proved you can do it. You have the Bills, that's a tough fight. That's a tough fight.
Okay,
Bears
Bills.
again, you'll probably take us again. Niners, you don't like Purdy anyway. And the Vikings, which you demolished. So I'm not seeing a team really left on your schedule other than the Bills that has a legitimate shot of beating you.
Yeah, honestly.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills and honestly, I think we're going to beat the shit out of the Niners, honestly.
I think so. Like, they're not looking – they're falling
They're not the
apart.
same. They're not the same Niners from last season. No,
they're not.
The defense doesn't look the same.
No.
The offense, obviously, without Christian – I mean, Christian McCaffrey's coming back, but
– he'll be back by then, but
– so far, the offense has been underwhelming.
Right. No Ayuk anymore. Debo's sick with the plague every other week. Who the fuck else is going on with him? Dude's got pneumonia and SARS and swine flu. Like, who the fuck's going on? What's going on with Debo? But,
who the
yeah.
fuck knows?
My God. But, no, you know what it is? He's got that Purdy fever. That's what that is.
Mm.
We saw it last year, but now it's taking a turn for the worse. Now you need a fucking booster shot for that.
Mm.
But, yeah, man, it's pretty fucking sweet to be a Detroit Lions fan right now.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck you to the refs and fuck you to the NFL for ejecting Brian Branch. The man did nothing wrong. Flag him. Cool. Fuck it. Whatever. Take it. But eject him? That's his first personal foul of the game.
I will argue that is mostly how it goes for the Detroit Lions in history. That's like the most ejected team of all time. And you know it's true.
It is true.
If
It's the
anything,
most
it just
fucked over team of
solidifies.
all time.
It just solidifies him as a pure Detroit Lion.
It's like, so we beat the Packers without our two best defensive players.
Yep.
So now what does it say about us?
Clearly something you did, she was cheating.
Shout out
the
to
rest
Kirby
thought.
Joseph. What up, Kirby Joseph, man?
What
Mr.
a
Pick
fucking
Six.
animal. Oh, my God.
Brian Branch gets ejected. What does he do? Pick six right off the bat.
He's impressive.
Yeah, he leads the league in picks.
I was going to say, all pro is coming, and wow. Damn. Yeah. What can you say about that, motherfucker?
Man. Six picks, a forced fumble, 42 tackles. That's his
That's
stats.
Insane. That's insane. Season's not even half over.
No.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Must be nice. I want
It's
you
great.
To enjoy that. Because, you know, just south of the border is another team from the Lions. They're called the Chicago Bears. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them, but they're also a team in the NFC North. So you know how things are going great in Detroit? It must be fun like that for all franchises and their fan bases, right? Cool. We should hear from DJ Moore about that. If you just give me 1 second, I'm going to share a clip from DJ where he shares his opinion about, you know, how our great season's going and how amazing our coach is.
Wonder from the outside, has Matt Eberflus lost his football team? So I'll ask you, has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing, is a win. And then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
Excuse me?
So, yeah, on Bernstein and Holmes, DJ Moore had this conversation. And they asked him point blank if Matt Eberflus has lost a locker room, which has been a question we've been asking this fucking franchise for weeks now. Because even with a 4-4 record, what the fuck is going on in Chicago? The wheels have completely fallen off. It's pretty rough to see Caleb regressing. And we all know it's not his fault. But here's the thing, folks. How many times, even on this fucking show, have you heard me say that exact story about the Bears? It's not the quarterback's fault. It's not the quarterback's fault. What the fuck? There are some things that Caleb is doing wrong. Don't get it twisted. The Bears lost to the Cardinals, and it was pretty fucking devastating, folks. And in my opinion, other than the Patriots next week, that was the easiest team we had left on the schedule. It's all division games from here on out. So if we can't handle the Cardinals, who are in first place, I'm not going to take anything away from them. They still have Marvin Harrison. He didn't do a lot in this game, but the Cardinals are talented. So I'm not putting it like we lost to the Jags or some shit. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. It's the way we're losing. It's sackless. We have no semen. Testosterone's gone. We don't have any balls right now. We're playing heartless, and it's bad to see. I feel bad for Caleb. I'll put it this way. It's fun to have a gunslinger as a quarterback. I'm glad that we have somebody who's not afraid to sling the fucking rock. Thank God. We haven't had that since Jay Cutler. But the man is missing, like, even the easy passes.
Yes.
And that's when we're not even drawing up 100 fucking screens a game and all the wrong times to do a screen. Shane Waldron, once again, has no fucking idea what he's doing. And I really don't know what's happened to Shane Waldron, because the thing I saw in Seattle with Shane Waldron was beautiful. I thought that man helped rejuvenate Geno Smith's career. And maybe we get a little bit of that fucking knowledge in Chicago. Maybe it's the stadium just sucking all the knowledge out of him. I don't fucking know what's happened to Waldron, but he's overmatched. But at the end of the day, it's the head coach. We should never have kept Matt Eberflus on as coach. It does not make any sense. It's making less and less sense the longer we go. I want to point out one important thing, folks. The man hasn't even won on the road. He can't win on the road. We win at home just fine. We're like 13 straight losses on the road going back last year. Like, what is that shit? That is not good football. We have a losing record with him as a coach in his third year here. But y'all fired Lovie Smith with a much, much better fucking record, playoff opportunities, and a Super Bowl appearance. But we're keeping Eberflus for 3 years, and now we are again wasting a quarterback prospect that should be the savior of this franchise. There is absolutely no reason Caleb should be looking this bad, even with the rookie mistakes. Half the shit isn't even his fault. He's still running for his life. Our offensive line looks good in one game, and we're atrocious another game. It doesn't make any fucking sense, because the coaching makes no fucking sense. So here's what you do, and he's not going to agree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fire Eberflus. You can fire Waldron too. Get him the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. I won't say Ben Johnson, but I'm screaming for Ben Johnson because pause, not even a pause. Please bring his ass over here. But anybody who's an offensive coordinator, I will take you as a head coach. Greg Roman, give me a Harbaugh. Give me a fucking Kubiak. I would love it. Any of that shit is offensive capabilities for your offensive quarterback. Get the offensive lineman we need in the draft. Go replace Keenan Allen, because I don't think he's even happy here. It's fine. We knew he was a rental anyway. Thanks for your fucking time, bro. And find Montez Sweat a partner. We are good. The fucked up thing about it is, if we really just had a coherent franchise, anybody with a brain in the front office, we can do all of that in 1 year. One. But we have to do what it takes. But does Chicago ever do that shit? No. We try to game the system. We try to get ahead. We try to outsmart everybody. Let's not go and give Ben Johnson the fucking money truck, everything he wants to come and fix our fucking team. Let's go to the CFL and find somebody who won 8 Grey Cups, because that translates to the NFL, right? They won championships in Canada, so they must be good here, right? That's the kind of logic we have. And it's so exhausting. And it's getting worse the more I see Jaden Daniels play, because now I got to deal with the shit again. It's Mahomes all over again.
I try to tell you.
And you try to tell us. Now, this man told you on this show for weeks before the draft. He had all the gut feelings in the world that it's Jaden Daniels. And I'm not going to sit here and say you're right, because I, for one, think Caleb is the guy. I think we drafted the right guy. And I think we got the right pieces, except for the most important one. And that's the fucking coaching. We missed that step. We got so fucking far ahead of ourselves. Yeah, a shiny new toy. And then we got a dunce, and we fucking came all together as a community. Just big fucking jizz load. Oh, my God. We have weapons now. We forgot that you got to have the guy who actually knows how to play with the fucking controller. We put a toddler in charge of this fucking team. He's a nice guy. He's a very nice guy. I like what he brings as a personality. But as a coach in Chicago, which is hard-nosed, with little forgiveness from your fan base, we are tired of losing. You need an actual successful coach in this fucking city before we rip the fucking place apart. And I mean, do it now, please. What did you see in that game, sir? If since you had to watch the film so you could torture me in this episode, what did you see with your analytical eyes as I drink more of my fucking whiskey?
First and foremost, for those who are listening on Spotify, I had to change the glasses, change the buffs to my all black one because this is a funeral. I've realized that after watching this game, the Chicago Bears are absolutely fucked. It's absolutely all because of Jaden Daniels. Hail Mary, that was the nail in the coffin for the rest of the season for you guys.
That was our double doink. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
It took the soul out of the entire team.
Yep.
And I heard the stories about Stevenson, about him taking himself out of practice and stuff. Look, I don't even look at Stevenson. Again, like you said, that's the coaching staff.
Bad coaching.
That's leadership. That's lack of culture. That's developed by who? The head coach. But in this game, number one, this offense is so 2005.
Like the Black Eyed Peas.
This offense is fucking shit. The defense is shit. Like, the defense, I don't think... Okay, let me take that back. The defense is not shit. They're playing like shit.
Yes.
Because they don't want to play for their head coach.
There you go.
Because they got talent on this defense. It's not... Stevenson's a good corner.
Hell yeah!
Stevenson's a good young corner in this league. Jalen Johnson's one of the best corners in this league.
100%.
But all three running backs for the Cardinals look like renditions of fucking Darren Sproles, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Michael Turner when they were all on the Chargers.
It's unbelievable.
Just running all over the Bears. Fucking who the fuck is Dean Mercado?
Nobody. But he ran canyons through our fucking line.
Fucking James Conner. Just destroying. Like shredded running through us. Huge gaping holes.
Like I was like, they gave up. They gave up. That's what this is.
And then who? What's his name? Benson?
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, oh yeah, you want some work too? Here, go ahead.
Bye.
I feel so bad for you because I know this season had a whole lot of hype and hope coming into the season.
The self-inflicted. I was on the record saying, like, it's going to take some time to get this to really gel. We were hoping for the best. And, yeah, again, 4 wins. I'm not saying it's terrible. Not all hope is lost. But, my God, like.
It's how you're losing.
It's how we're losing. We're beating ourselves. That's the one thing I didn't see coming. I knew we were going to struggle. I didn't see us whooping our own ass.
What I would say to that is I think you guys are allowing yourselves to get your ass whooped.
Yes.
It's not so much you guys are having a lot of these self-inflicted wounds outside of the offensive line taking shits every other play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you're allowing teams to run on you. Like when you give up rushing yards, you're basically allowing another team to move you off the line, off the ball, right, and basically take your manhood.
Right.
And it starts there. It starts in the trenches. And I don't know what the Bears' problem is, but they refuse to consistently give DeAndre Swift the ball. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like every time Swift got the ball against the Cardinals, he was ripping off 10, 11, 12, 9-yard gains. That's what I saw. I don't know what Swift's final stats were, but when I was watching the film, oh, my God. I don't know why they just didn't give him the ball.
I asked it every fucking game. I don't get it. We try to get cute. Like, what are you doing? He's the only one. And I love Odunze, don't get me wrong. DJ is great. I love him too. We have the weapons. The one guy every game who has been making us successful is DeAndre Swift. Period. When he starts eating, we look amazing. When he doesn't eat, we are shit. It's just that simple. You're asking Caleb to do too much, or he's trying to do too much. One of the two is possible. It might be both. Feed Swift. And you got rid of Khalil Herbert. So feed Roshan too. We have the running back. Let's not go there. The point is, we still have great running back depth. Travis Homer will come back too. So the run game is what we need. And then Caleb can dot his way through the rest of it. That's fine. But Caleb is not hero ball ready yet. And we shouldn't be asking that of him either. It's a little stupid.
Yeah, man. Since you brought up Caleb, there's a couple things I'm a little worried about with Caleb Williams. You mentioned it a little bit. I don't know why he can't make some of these easy throws.
I don't.
It's not
it.
That he can't throw and doesn't have the arm talent to make these throws, but I feel like with these easy drop back and just lay it on him throws, pause. He missed DJ Moore a couple times. He missed Keenan Allen a lot in this game. Keenan Allen had what, 10 targets and only 4 catches. Yep, so
that is correct.
Like, let me put it like this, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm just hating on Caleb. But pre-draft, not me, but the overall consensus said Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation ever for a first round pick or first overall pick that's a quarterback, right?
That was said a lot. Even I've said it.
No one even thought about that with Jaden Daniels. Like, everyone just thought, okay, that's strictly going to take some years.
Yep.
You might look okay this year. It's going to be a project for the whole team.
Yep. Very true.
Oh, my God, how the tides have changed.
Woo! Eight words.
And so I'm judging Caleb Williams that he came into the best situation possible for a first overall pick. He's been underwhelming. He threw no touchdowns again for, what, the third straight game?
Oh, after going like 16 misses in a row, like last game, like just, yeah, oh my God.
And I'm worried because he has weapons.
He's just missing them.
He's
DJ's
missing
out there
them.
Everywhere, just sailing over his head.
And I understand it's not on him because this offense is so 2005, but at the same time, when you have those easy throws, you got to take them. When your check down is open, just take it.
That's right. He literally was skipping checkdowns to go for the bigger play in this last game when it got down to the fourth quarter. And I'm like, okay, I get it, dude. But at the end of the day, I know you're down bad. You still have to get the easy shit if it's there. Just move the fucking ball. You just got to move the ball.
Prime example. I remember, I think it was second quarter. He had Roshan Johnson wide open over the ball on like a hook route, right over the ball for a checkdown. It was already second and 14. He could have picked that up.
Smoking over here.
Got about 7 yards and shit, but instead he took a sack.
Right.
Trying to make a bigger play. That's like stuff that I hate to say it again because I don't want to make it seem like I'm gassing one guy and talking shit about another. But Jane Daniels is a second overall pick in a less ideal situation, according to y'all, right?
Everybody.
He's making these throws. He's going through progressions. He only has 2 turnovers on the season. I don't know how much Caleb has, but Caleb has had 3 in one game.
Yeah.
So, like, if the second overall pick is playing like this and the first overall pick is looking like this, you got to have some type of concern for not just Caleb Williams, but the overall direction of this franchise. Because, again, I remember I asked you, you draft Caleb Williams, what's your plan on making sure he's going to be successful?
That was your biggest question. And what was my answer? I could barely answer it. I don't know.
And now you're seeing why you can barely answer it.
Yeah. Here you go. That's just crazy. But,
so, yeah, pray for Caleb.
Yeah. Please pray for Caleb. Pray for me. Because I can't keep doing this shit. It's just getting hard to watch every fucking week because that game should have been a get-right game with the level of talent we have.
Even if you lost this game, the Cardinals are a good team. Let's just put
team.
That out there.
They're a good team.
27-29. Okay, whatever. That's respectable. You went into Arizona and fought. Cool. But you lost 29-9. Not a single fucking touchdown.
No touchdowns. Like, there's no explanation. None.
I just want to get this straight. Because I didn't know they rushed for this many yards. You gave up 213 rushing yards.
Yep.
3 touchdowns and 6 yards a carry.
Yep. Which is supposed to be a strength of ours.
This is called a defense saying, fuck the coach.
Exactly.
Because remember, what's your specialty?
Oh, defense.
Oh, what do you know?
Yeah, specialty. They're all giving you the middle finger at this point. So it's great. Thanks, dude. Moving on, just a quick shout out to someone who's actually doing well this season, even though the record may not show it. But that man is a quick shout out for Matthew Stafford, still being that motherfucker, getting a big overtime win against the Rams. I mean, I'm sorry, against the Seahawks. And here's how he fucking did it.
Second down at 6. Fake to
Yes, Staff.
Stafford. My goodness. With the one hand for fucking Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson.
What
My
a
God.
Drop.
It's
upfield
a
shoulder.
Amazing. Amazing.
Upfield shoulder. That was great coverage by the defensive back.
Yes, it was.
But that was just beautiful ball placement. Upfield shoulder. DeMarcus Robinson grabbed that one-handed. Great catch by him. Better throw. Staff still got it, man.
Unbelievable.
Us it's Lions unbelievable. Fans try to tell the NFL world, Stafford does not suck.
No!
The team sucks. He's the reason why we win seven of these games.
Every year.
Every
always
year.
Always gritty. Always in the hunt.
Man, he is clutch, and he's always been clutch. And that's one thing I've always loved about Matthew Stafford. I'm glad he's doing it on a bigger stage in L.A., bigger market team. He's still doing it. I still got them winning the division.
It's up there, man. It's up for grabs at this point, especially with the Niners kind of falling apart. Rams, yeah, man. They're going to make it fucking interesting. So,
oh, yeah.
NFC is starting to cook quite a bit. And speaking of that, let's do another shout-out to my boy over in Philadelphia with just the most ridiculous move I've ever seen, defying the laws of physics, and got himself Saquon Barkley.
Catches a flat route. Make someone miss. It's a spin move, and then...
Oh, my God. Reverse hurdle. Just how?
Reverse hurdle clears the defender.
How?
Nuts on his helmet clears the defender.
Like, that doesn't happen. I've never seen that in my entire life.
You can't even do that shit on Madden.
No. Oh, I bet you will from this point on. They're going to add that shit in the next patch, guaranteed. But that shit was bonkers. Saquon continues to show the world, and especially New York, what they're fucking missing out on. That he is the best motherfucker running the football today, other than Derrick Henry. We'll get there too.
Oh my God.
My God. But I mean, Saquon on my fantasy team, I'm even wearing the Kelly Green for him today. Please, sir, keep on doing what you do, bringing me those fantasy points because I need them because my fantasy season is in danger. So, for the love of God, I need 8 more touchdowns a game. Thank you. I love you.
You got him and Jahmyr Gibbs. You should be all right.
I'm feeling just fine about that. But to finish up the episode, since it is about midseason, I want to get your take on some midseason awards. Who do you have as your MVP, defensive player of the year, comeback player, whatever you want to put out there? Who do you got? Who you got eyes on so far this season?
All right, man. So let's just knock this one out the way because this is the obvious choice. Offensive rookie of the year, Jaden Daniels. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I don't think anyone has a different name on their ballot. Just real quick, 2,400 total yards, 13 total touchdowns, only two turnovers, and number 5 in the league in passer rating. Yeah, offensive rookie of the year to me.
Done deal.
Defensive rookie of the year. This one's a little tougher, but in my opinion, stats may not be the loudest.
Mm.
But every time I watch this kid on film, he screams impact. And that's Jared Verse from the Los Angeles Rams. 33 tackles, 3.5 sacks, a forced fumble. But like I said, on film, he's very impactful. I watched the game back on Sunday against the Seahawks, and he was in the backfield a lot on run plays, on pass plays. He can sometimes even drop back into coverage. They have him do that sometimes. Jared Verse is a very versatile player and a very good pass rusher. He's going to be a good player for a long time. Another easy one we can knock out the way real quick. Coach of the year, Dan Campbell.
I know.
Great leader, big balls, 7-1, Super Bowl favorites. Now, let's go defensive player of the year.
Okay.
This would have been Aiden Hutchinson if he would have been healthy. Leading the league in sacks.
Fair.
Again, best team in the NFC. I can go on and on. Call me a homer for this one. I'm going Brian Branch.
Oh, man. Okay.
40 tackles, a forced fumble, 4 picks, 11 pass breakups. He's the most versatile defensive player in the NFL. Name me another player that can go guard the slot receiver on an opposing team. Next play, go play deep safety. Next play, come in the box and play linebacker. Next play, blitz and pressure the quarterback. Name me another player that can do that for you at the highest level. Again, I'm not looking at numbers. I'm looking at impact. And I think the impact that Brian Branch has on a defense and winning games is higher than anyone else in the league right now. And then my MVP, most valuable player. Again, I'm going off impact. Mm-hmm. It just so happens this guy has the numbers to back it up. My MVP so far, midway through the 2024 NFL season, is Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
He's number 3 in passing yards, number 17 in rushing yards. That's unheard of. Top 20 rushing, top 3 passing. He leads the league in passer rating at 120.7, and he has 22 total touchdowns. He has his team. I forget. I don't even know what the record is. I think they lost twice, maybe three times.
I think it's 7-2, if I'm not mistaken.
7-2, yeah. But
6-3, excuse me.
6-3, yeah. Okay, 6-3. Yes. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is just playing the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And the MVP is a quarterback award.
Unfortunately.
He's not only putting up good numbers, but he's making impactful plays. He's throwing receivers open. He's running when he has to. He's playing within the pocket. Great pocket presence. And he's one of the main reasons why the Baltimore Ravens are a favorite to get back to the Super Bowl. So, again, I'm going off impact more so than numbers with all of my picks. Those are my picks. I'm curious to hear what yours are.
One more, though, that you didn't pick up, though, that I'm very curious about. Who is your comeback player of the year?
Oh, comeback player of the year. All right. This is right off the dome.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Dobbins.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
He obviously has been dealt a terrible hand in the NFL, dealing with a ton of injuries. This season, he's finally healthy with the Los Angeles Chargers, with Harbaugh. And he's having a career resurgence. I'm not sure what his stats are, but he's ran for 100 yards a handful of times.
Right.
He scored multiple touchdowns this season. Again, I don't know what his stats are right offhand. But every time I watch him play, because I'm a big fan of J.K., have been since he's been at Ohio State, so this may be a little bit of a biased pick. Mm. But every time he gets the ball, he's impactful. And in L.A., they still go running back by committee. That's a hardball thing to do. So him splitting carries with like Gus Edwards and the other backs that they got, for him to be, in my opinion, the most impactful running back on that team and everything that he's been through, to me, he's my comeback player of the year.
Mm. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I know how I feel about it because it's pretty fucking crazy, actually. But I'll do it in order you did it. My offensive rookie of the year is Jaden Daniels. Of course it fucking is. There's no suspense there, folks. Jaden Daniels is doing more for the Washington Commanders and Washington as a state in general than anybody has in the last fucking 100 years. I'm just putting that out
there. Fucking president.
I'm including the presidents in that shit. He's doing more for politics than he's done for anything else. My God, that kid is a fucking superstar. The Washington Commanders are on fire. We're talking about them in playoff spots and beyond this point. Make no mistake about it. They're talented, but he is the sole reason that they are on this level of hype right now. They have the hype that we were supposed to have. They snatched all our fucking hype away. So, yes, I will give credit where credit's due. It's Jaden Daniels, and it's not even fucking close. My defensive rookie of the year, it's also Jared Verse, actually. That's fucking what's up. My God, he's playing out of his mind. And in a team where you just lost Aaron Donald, Jared Verse is kind of making you go, oh, yeah, that guy. He is already filling that role of stepping up on this defense. He is everywhere on the field. His impact is felt in every fucking game. Jared Verse is a megastar in the making. I think he's a future defensive player of the year overall. So the sky's the limit for Jared Verse. I'm loving what I'm seeing from his game so far. So kudos to both those guys.
Hey, I don't know if you remember, but real quick, I don't know if you remember, but I said you guys should draft Jared Verse. Actually,
he was one of my top picks. I said if we couldn't get Odunze, I would be cool with Verse or be cool with like an offensive lineman. But like Verse, I do going in. Kid's fucking talented. He's showing you everything he's got, and Rams are benefiting from it big time. Coach of the year, I don't give a fuck. It's Dan Campbell. It was always going to be Dan Campbell from the moment we started this fucking season to the time he's raising a Super Bowl trophy at the end of it. Dan Campbell is the coach of the year. I want him to be my coach. I want him to be my coach in life. I wanted to wake up and him just be in my kitchen.
Just talking.
Just barking inspirational shit at me so I can go smash my day. So, yeah, Dan Campbell is the coach of the year and the coach of your lives. And it's about time you realize that. So, there you go. Let's see. What's next? My defensive player of the year. I'm sorry. I did look at stats. It's TJ Watt. And I'm sorry. It was always going to be TJ Watt. TJ Watt is the best linebacker in this league. Regardless of who you play with, 33 solo tackles, 6.5 sacks, four forced fumbles. He's a wrecking machine, just like his brother was. And until someone puts up higher numbers than that in this little of games, it's TJ Watt's award to lose. I'm not saying there aren't other good defensive players playing right now, but TJ, as he has shown you, is still in a class of his own. I'd put money that he's going to win the award again, probably in a walk, but that's just me. I'm a big fan.
I'm gonna talk a little shit and just say Hutch still has more sacks than him. I'm just
You are absolutely right. And I 100% agree with you that if Hutch had a healthy season, this was his to lose. I completely agree with that.
I'm just talking
but
shit.
But he's not. I'm not. I will stand behind that. But that's not the reality we live in, unfortunately. And TJ's gonna run away with that shit. He's gonna run away with that shit. My comeback player of the year is hilarious because it is also J.K. Dobbins. It's J.K. Dobbins. I was surprised he said that because everyone in their mom was like Kirk Cousins. And I say, fuck you, Kirk
fuck
Cousins.
Fuck him.
Fuck Kirk Cousins. You didn't come back from shit. What comeback was there? Atlanta gave you a boatload of cash to come and try to refresh whatever franchise they have and save whatever weapons they have from leaving.
Instead, your ass is out here swag surfing and shit.
Exactly. You swag surfing because you have some flavor. You tried some fried chicken for once. All of a sudden, you got receivers who know how to fucking cook a little bit.
Lemon pepper wet.
That's all. That's all it is for him. He's just happy to be here. You ain't doing nothing that special, Cousins. I see right through you. It's the same old shit. However, J.K. Dobbins, 600 yards and 6 touchdowns already. All this man needs is a healthy season. And he is going to show you he is one of the top running backs in this league. And he always has been. Yep. It's just been a shitty fucking form of luck that he's had with his injuries. But he is on a roll right now. He's perfect for a Harbaugh offense. He's showing you what he's got right now. I think he gets through a full season, healthy and happy, and you start talking about him with some respect on his name next year.
Wait,
Dobbins is the man right now.
You said he has 600 yards and 6 touchdowns?
Already. Over that.
I didn't even know.
See? I had the stats ready to go.
Whenever I watched, I was like, oh, fuck. You it's a yeah, good game.
Exactly. It's, oh, shit. It's Dobbins. You forget about him. 600 yards and 6 tutties already. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know how many yards he's averaging per carry?
I have not seen that yet, but I can pull it up real quick.
Because I know he's splitting carries, so he might have a high yards per carry.
I mean, shit.
What is it, like 5?
At 5.5.
Damn!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. That's career. 4.9.
5, basically.
Basically
which
5.
Is really good.
That's really fucking good. So.
No, hold on. He averages 5.5 for his career.
Yes. Feed him the fucking ball.
I didn't even know that. What the fuck?
Feed him the rock, man. I'm telling you, it's just because of the injuries.
He just has to be on the field, and he's a monster.
Exactly. He just has to stay on the field. And, man, so again, if I'm LA, just fucking feed him, man. Good things are going to happen, I promise you. So good on him for that one. What's left?
MVP.
MVP. MVP.
I think I know where you're going.
Where am I going with MVP?
You're going with my MVP's teammate, Derrick Henry.
You mean Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Nope. My MVP is also Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I thought you were going to just, because you hate quarterbacks winning this award.
I do. But I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson erases any argument you might have about that argument, saying that quarterbacks shouldn't always win an MVP. Lamar Jackson's playing like an MVP. That's all I ask. If you're going to be a quarterback and win MVP, play like a fucking MVP, not just because you're a quarterback. Lamar Jackson, and I'll give you this one. Like I said last week, Jaden Daniels is making the MVP race interesting, spicy,
yes,
fun, very fun. But let's not get it twisted. Lamar Jackson is making the Ravens a championship-level fucking contender, period. And that's, I'm saying, despite Derrick Henry. Henry is a double Sunday on top of a Sunday.
He's the best luxury to have in the NFL.
He's just more ice cream at this point. There's nothing wrong with more ice cream. So I'm not taking anything Derrick Henry away from the Ravens and everything, but Lamar Jackson on his own, his stats speak for itself. He's literally making the Ravens into a championship. So that to me is what an MVP does. You already put the stats out there, but it's like, what more do you need to see from Lamar Jackson? I don't care about recency bias or anything. He's still playing like he wants the third MVP. So, shit. He's
probably going to get it at this point.
He's probably going to get it.
He's on pace for 44 total touchdowns.
Like, what?
And he's only thrown, what, 2 picks?
And that's the guy you guys keep calling a running back, right? That guy?
Not bad. Not bad. Number 3 in passing. Number 3 in passing yards.
That's all. That's all.
Number 1 in passer rating.
Baltimore is just the most complete team in the AFC. No problem. Like, what? Come on now. So that's all. We actually agree on like 90% most of our fucking picks. That's why I was already just sipping whiskey like, damn, we actually aligned here. You're seeing the same games I'm seeing. There are some clear front runners in these awards, I think.
I think so. I think from Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, coach of the year. I think those are all locks.
I think so.
Defensive player of the year, I think TJ Watt is probably the favorite.
I put money on it.
Him and Myles Garrett, those two are probably the favorites off of name value alone. I mean, their numbers are good. Don't get me wrong. But off name value alone, those two names always come up at the top.
Of course. As they should. As they should. We'll see how it goes. And we're going to follow this week in, week out, folks, until the end of the season. But especially more on my end because I'm probably done watching the Bears after this travesty. So
Wait, I thought you were looking forward to this Thanksgiving game.
Not anymore. I'm going to bury my head in gravy and mashed potatoes that day and enjoy my whiskey. But again, you're welcome to come over and enjoy yourself, sir. And just try to take it easy because it's going to be a very, very ugly game. And it's going to ruin my dinner. I already know it. I mean,
if y'all couldn't stop the run against the Cardinals.
Montgomery and Gibbs are going to.
Oh, no, just Montgomery.
Just Montgomery by himself.
You know how he feels about the Bears.
But Gibbs will just pour the gravy on top of this Thanksgiving shit platter. It's going to be fantastic.
On some, oh, it's my turn type shit.
Oh, God. Just the Eiffel Tower comes to mind. Okay. Oh, God. It's going to get graphic here, folks. Give the fans your last words of the evening before I sob into my whiskey.
Last words of the evening. I just wanted to say, America, NBA commish Adam Silver, what the fuck is going on? Just because it's election day doesn't mean you don't have any games on. You made my Tuesday boring as fuck. Like, I was expecting to watch some NBA games today as I get ready for the show, but I didn't see any games on. So guess what I did? I rolled up a joint.
Hey.
I didn't take any notes.
Oh.
I just watched a whole lot of film while I was chopped, and yeah, I was very disappointed. I didn't get to watch any NBA basketball today because I've been watching NBA games every single day since the season been back on, and it's been fucking fantastic.
Damn.
So I just want to watch basketball, watch football, make some money, and that's not too much to ask for, is it? So please, fuck the election. Put some games on, please.
Whew. That needs to be a lawn sign. Fuck the election. Just put some games on. I like that. Oh, my God. We went trick-or-treating. Do you know what political sign I saw in one of my neighbor's yards? It said, I need to buy it immediately. It said, presidents are temporary, but Wu-Tang is forever. I said, ooh. I need it now.
Ooh.
Now. I was like, I need, and you know it's a white family too. And I said, I want to be best friends. We got the king size candy bars too. Like, oh my God.
Well, you guys are different white people.
Right. Yeah. They're the ones you invite to the cookout. They're those folks. You gotta have some of those folks.
Oh yeah,
some of those folks. But speaking of cookout, y'all can watch our cookout, listen to it on Spotify, along with all the other episodes and all the great content that we've got. And that's the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com, at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. Lots of content, plenty more coming your way. Like we said, this man's about to lock down as soon as he gets to his new place. 100th episode is coming up in like 8 fucking weeks. So we got a lot to do, a lot of planning. We got a lot of ideas cooking up for you. So stay tuned. Stay with us. Follow along with the NFL because we got a lot of hot takes coming out and a lot of fun clips for you to indulge yourselves in. It's Thanksgiving season. It's time to indulge, folks. That's what we want you to do.
That's the best holiday of the year.
It's the best holiday of the year. I already started my fucking menu planning. You're coming over, right? Coming for a plate. I got a plate for you. I'm experimenting with some cheesecakes. Got some new recipes I got to cook up. So,
oh yeah,
you already know it.
Coming over, we're watching the game, and we're going to eat good food.
That's what it's all about. That's the only reason that Thanksgiving needs to exist, folks. So you can keep your Christmas to yourself, stay in your lane, and let me have my Thanksgiving. This is my time to shine.
Please, no Christmas music yet. Please.
None of that shit. Mariah hasn't defrosted yet, folks. Keep that shit in your lane.
Huh.
It's unbelievable. Make sure you come see us as the Bank Bros are in your city, here for you as we always are, and you can bank on it. Peace out, folks.
1, 2, 3. Lock.